So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, Text Number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bandhu janati ari madhyastha mitra dashina vidvasha sarva ibahi sarvesham avanti kramasho mitaha bandhu janati ari madhyastha Mitro dashina vidvasha sarva ibhi sarvesham bhavanti kramasho mitah pandu janati ari madhyastha mitro dashina vidvasha sarva ibhi sarvesham Bhavanti krama shomitaha. Bandhu janatyari madhyastha. Mitro dashina vidvisha. Sarvaivahi sarvesham. Bhavanti krama shomitaha. Bandhu janati ari madhyastha mitro dashina vidvasha sarvaivahi sarvesham bhavanti kramasho mitam bandhu janati ari madhyastha Mitro dashina vidvisha sarvai sarvesham bhavanti kramato mita. Any messages? Bandhu janati ari madhyasa Mitro dashina vidvisha sarvaivahi sarvesham bhavanti kramasho mitah Bandhu, friends, Gati, family members, Hari, Enemies, Madhyastha, Neutrals, Mitra, Well-wishers, Udashina, Indifferent, Vidvasha, of envious persons, Sarvi, All, Eva, Indeed, He, Certainly, Sarvesham, of all, Bhavanti, become, Kramasha, gradually, Mita, of one another. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Sabai Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives and enemies in due course of time. They also act neutrally, they meditate, they despise one another, and they act in many other relationships. Nonetheless, despite these various transactions, no one is permanently related. Please repeat. In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives, and enemies in due course of time. They also act neutrally. They meditate, they despise one another, and they act in many other relationships. Nonetheless, despite all these various transactions, no one is permanently related. Therefore, it is our practical experience in this material world that the same person who is one's friend today becomes one's enemy tomorrow. Our relationship as friends or enemies, family men or outsiders, are actually the results of our different dealings. Chitraketu Maharaj was lamenting for his son, who is now dead, but he could have considered the situation otherwise. The living entity could have thought, he was my enemy in my last life, and now he's appeared as my son. He is prematurely leaving just to give me pain and agony. Why should he not consider this, his dead son, as his former enemy, and instead of lamenting, be jubilant because of an enemy's death? As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakriti Kriyamanani Guna in Karmani Sharvasha. Factually, everything is happening because of the association with the modes of material nature. Therefore, one who is my friend today in association with the modes of goodness may be my enemy tomorrow in the association of the modes of passion and ignorance. As the modes of material nature work in illusion, we accept others as friends, enemies, sons or fathers in terms of the relations. In terms of the reactions of different dealings under different circumstances or conditions. Om Agyant Miram Dasha Jananjanan Shalakaya Chakshuram Lalitan Dina Tasmaya Shri Yirvimha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivashati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Padam ki jai. So, here how King Chitraketu is lamenting over the loss of his son, but he could change his consciousness. He could change the whole thing around and turn it into a happy situation. He's unhappy now, he's lamenting, I'm losing my son, but the Prabhupada points out in the purport, he could have thought, he was actually my enemy in my last life. Then he's taken birth as my son, just to give me trouble, because we're all so attached to the son, and then suddenly he leaves, and we're in distress, lamentation. especially King Chitraketu, who had so many thousands of wives and no children, he had one son, so it was a big loss for him. So he's lamenting the loss, but when we understand the philosophy of life, then we can adjust things, we can twist it and see from different angles of vision and just adopt that angle of vision. Well, if he was my enemy in my last life, then that's why he's come to give me trouble. Anyway, he's gone now. It's good my enemy's gone. Let me get on with my life. Otherwise, King Chitraketu was going to be lamenting his whole life. So Narad Muni and Angira Maharaj, Maharaj Angira, Sadhu, they've come to like startle him, they've come to shock him, a bit of shock treatment. He's very good for waking up sometimes. So they could have preached to him earlier, but they didn't. But this time, after his son is dead, now they come back to preach to him, because now he's, you know, he's really, he's going to listen, he's awake. So all these different relationships we have in this world are all simply due to our dealings with the different situation. Just like King Chuchuketu, he's saying, "My son, my son, my son." That means I'm identifying myself as his father. When he's with his queens, he's, my identity is husband. When he's with, when the sage is walking, he's very respectful. My identity is, I'm your servant. So like that, constantly, according to our association and different conditions, we change our identity. We've got an identity crisis. Because we're always meeting different people, different situations, and we have different relationships. So we have, we're changing our identity every moment, practically, according to the situation. You're laughing, enjoying, you go in the temple and immediately become serious, because it's a different relationship. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you change your identity. Now I'm a servant, I'm not the enjoyer. I was just enjoying when we were coming to the temple, laughing and talking. So we're always changing our identities. Identity crisis. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us our pure identity, so we don't get too bewildered. Naham Vipachon Narapati, Nabhaisha, Na Shudra. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra. So all those relationships are finished. I'm not a Brahmacharya, Panaprasa, Grihastha, Sannyasi. So all those different relationships is permeated there. You got three and three. You can permeate these, you get so many different identities. Yeah, according to our association with the modes of material nature. so we more or less create our identity according to the different reactions of the different, in our dealings with different people and different situations. Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm none of these things, I'm not, it's all negative. So what is my identity? I'm not this, I'm not this. So then Mahaprabhu tells us, I identify myself only as Gopi Pariyaro Kamaloa Dasa, Dash, Dash, Anudas. I identify myself as a servant of the servant of the servant, of the master of the gopis, Gopinath. This is our identity as given by Mahaprabhu. He is our leader, he is our Lord. So he has given us our identity, so we don't become too bewildered all the time. We always have that understanding that I am a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So when we see like that, then we're in our pure identity, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can... We need some identities in social life, but you know, otherwise, why there's a partition here? So, this is lady side, this is man side. So different identities. Coming to Bhagavatam class, you got to adopt a male identity, you got to adopt a female identity if you sit this side. Different circumstances and situations. So. What was I saying? Anyway, different identities according to different circumstances. Oh yeah, that's right. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us. We are servant of the servant of the servant. So still we have... there is social etiquette when we're dealing. We have to treat each other in terms of the circumstance. A brahmachari can't treat a mataji like like a husband can or a children can. And similarly, the mataji can't treat a sannyasi as her husband or anything like that. So we have to have certain rules in society. We're living in society, so there has to be certain some certain social etiquette is there. But it's a false identity. It's all falses. Falseness, all these different identities we're creating. But we have to have them to like to live as human beings, otherwise we could be in the jungle, you know, roaming around in the jungle eating fruit. Be like the python man, lay down, you don't have to do anything, everything's coming by the grace of the Lord. But if we want society, then we have to have some kind of structure and some kind of division. It has to be there, otherwise we can't relate. So, but we see in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, we're also following these principles. We are making distinctions. And if, you know, if we're supposed to be a spiritual movement, why are the dualities there? But so, the idea is, yeah, we're using the system, social system, because we've got to deal with the material world, we've got to deal with social life, but we don't forget our identity as servant of the servant of the servant. So, I'm dealing with my children, like everybody deals with it, so you identify yourself as a mother or a father when you're in the presence of your children, you're playing with, so I'm a mother, I'm a father. So that's also going on in ISKCON. The karmis are all saying, I'm the father, this is my son. They're in complete illusion according to these verses, these chapters of Bhagavad Gita. You're in complete illusion. But the devotees are also saying the same thing. This is my son and that interaction. But they have a slightly different understanding, and this is, they consider everyone that for themselves as das, and das. It's my child, so I got to address him as my child, my son, to be socially correct, whatever it is. But we're saying, yes, it's my son, but my son who's a servant of Krishna. It's my wife, but my wife who's a servant of Krishna. It's my boss, yes, but my boss who's the boss is also the servant of Krishna. But we see him as servant of Krishna anyway. So then the devotee, by adjusting a little bit of the philosophy or understanding the art of life, the art of living, as they say, then you can be happy in this material world, even though it's such a terrible situation. After all that trouble he went through to get his son, suddenly the son's been killed by his own wives. Oh my God, what a trauma. But just by a little adjustment in philosophy, a philosophical understanding, then we're going to become free from all of that lamentation. Otherwise you're going to go on lamenting, whole life you will lament. So we can make adjustments. When we know the philosophy of life, we can make adjustments. And then that makes the person happy. So, here the boy, he's about to die, but he's come back to life again by the grace of Narad Muni. And so he's not going to get into it. And so all these different identities, they don't have much meaning for one who's about to leave their body. We're all right as long as we're living socially, we can use our different identities. But when a person is about to leave their body, then all these identities have no meaning anymore. And at that time, one should concentrate or meditate on what his next destination is going to be. The Kalmis, they're lamenting. The Kisnaketra and the wives are all around the bed crying, lamenting. But it shouldn't be like that for a devotee. We shouldn't go them cry all around and lament. No, we understand that. We should do activities that are conducive for that living entity to remember his next destination. His next destination is Krishna's servant. Now he's Krishna's servant, he's going to leave his body. So we relate to him as Krishna's servant. So therefore, we see the difference there. Like, you know, someone has a tumor or cancer, something like that. Public enemy number one. Everybody hates cancer. They're all frightened of cancer. It's the biggest, one of the biggest killers. So everybody's fearful of cancer. But when the devotee gets diagnosed, oh, you've only got 5-6 months to live. So, oh, great! Now let me start rearranging everything. I've only got 6 months to live. So he sees that as a good thing. At least my time is given. Before I had this disease, I didn't know 6 days. 6 minutes, 6 seconds even, I didn't know. Now I've got time, okay, call the devotees, tell them to have Harinam Kirtan. And so like that, he makes the best use of a bad bargain, and the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, encourage him in Krishna consciousness, go to his next destination, which is to serve Krishna, because that's all he's been doing this whole life. This is what we've been practicing for. If we have another conclusion when we're leaving our body, we've wasted a lot of time. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is based on this question. What is the duty of a person, especially if a person is about to die? And the duty of the relatives is not to sit around lamenting and, oh, don't leave us, don't leave us. And the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. Put a good word in for me when you get back to Krishna. I'll be coming soon also. So it turns into it's sad also to lose a devotee, but to know that the devotee is now with Krishna and we're stuck in the material world. He's better off than me. I'm still stuck here. The devotees are already with Krishna, performing their eternal pastimes with Krishna. So just a little bit of, when we know the philosophy of life, we can just twist it. I was on a train one day and one man was talking to me. He said, I'm from the art of living. He said, you know that? I said, no, I've never heard of it. He said, yeah, he's some big. I said, yeah, oh, art of living, really. I said, we're practicing the art of dying. And he said, he was quite shocked, quite surprised. I said, yeah, he said, we're in the art of living. I said, oh, we're in the art of dying. He went, well, I suppose it's the same thing, isn't it? And I thought, well, if you think it's the same thing, living and dying, so what is it? It's a big, big thing, actually, the art of living, I found out later. It's very popular. You just do a little bit of everything, a little bit of trying to put you in more in the mode of goodness, a bit of yoga, a bit of health, a bit of exercise, a bit of whatever they do, and a bit of nice, being nice and being a nice person. And you didn't say anything about death. So unless you know about death, what use is this life? Unless you know your next destination, how to get to your next destination, what the use of living in the mode of goodness and being in a all-round, helpful, nice personality? It's all useless waste of time. So the devotee is happy. And this is our practice in this life. Like for King Parikshit, I got 6 days. What am I supposed to do? Tell me. Culminating hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. So that's what we do when the devotee is leaving the body. We come around, we have kirtan. So they're all going back home, back to Godhead. So anyway, it's all based around this, around the body, and my feelings, how I feel, and I'm bringing a different identity and in relationship, but we see in Krishna consciousness, just like Sri Vasa Thakur, Mahaprabhu, they were performing in the kirtan at Shiva Sangam. Shivas' son, one of his sons died. So all the women were in the other room, the child was in the other room, and Shivas heard all this sound coming from the other room. He went inside and he saw that all the ladies are there, the child is dead, his son is dead. They're all wailing and wailing. And Shiva says, stop your wailing. They say, stop! Stop your wailing. I'll kick you all out. And I'll go and drown myself in the Ganga. His son is dead. He said, I don't want anything to interfere with Mahaprabhu's kirtan. This is his pleasure pastime. You don't stop that. You keep quiet. So, this is real Krishna consciousness. He was thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pleasure. Even though his beloved's own child was there, he died, he should have been thinking, normally he should have been thinking about his child, but he wasn't. He was thinking about Krishna's pleasure. So that's pure Krishna consciousness. And when Mahaprabhu found out, he said, but your son died, Shivas, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you stop the kirtan? He said, that's your pleasure, my lord. I don't want to do anything that interferes with your pleasure. Mahaprabhu, where is there a servant like Shrivas? I'm eternally indebted to you, Shrivas. So this is real Krishna consciousness. Everything is done in for the pleasure of the Lord. So so the devotees, because they know the ultimate goal of life, the purpose of life, Krishna's pleasure, and my business, my purpose is to bring Krishna pleasure. So all these different reverses that come in life, a devotee sees it all as the hand of Krishna. So therefore he doesn't have to lament, even if it's a very bad situation. He understands that Krishna has given me this, personally given me this, as a rectification. It's what I need for my devotional service. He's given me this punishment, so-called punishment, whatever it is. Out of his love for me, because he cares for me. But the karmis, they can't see that. Every bad situation, they're going to suffer and suffer and suffer. But the devotee, he sees Krishna's hand in everything. This is the Tati Nupamkam verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. The devotee goes on, he said he goes, Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna. The devotee, he goes on in life, tolerating all the things that are coming. He simply sees them as a reaction of his previous activities. So all these are reactions, either good or bad, that he's facing. He sees it's a reaction from my previous activity. I just have to tolerate it and I'm going to go on with my service to Krishna despite the difficult situation I'm in right now. It's not going to stop my service to Krishna. It's not going to stop my understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not going to stop my understanding that I'm his eternal servant. That's going to go on. I'll be fixed in that. All the other things are coming and going. The temporary results of goodness and happiness and distress, that's always going to go on. But I see it as it's a reaction from my past activities, so I'm just going to tolerate all this. But it's not going to deviate my consciousness from my being the eternal servant of Krishna and he being my eternal master. Lord Brahma says, if we have that consciousness, you go back to Godhead after leaving this body. Daya Mukti Bhag. Becomes your rightful claim to go back to Godhead just because you're situated in your constitutional position as Krishna's servant, and you're not deviating from that. That's sure to get back to Godhead. Just to be fixed in that understanding. Not that you have to know all the philosophy, you have to be fixed in that understanding. Krishna is my master and I'm his servant. I'm not going to deviate from that. It's all reactions of my past activities, sinful or pious activities. I'm in this situation now. Of course, the devotee thinks like that, but actually that's not even the fact. The devotee thinks it's a reaction of my past activity. But the Brahma Samhita, it says that the devotees, all their sinful reactions are, by the power of bhakti, all the sins, sinful reactions are burned to ashes. It's not a reaction. When a devotee is suffering, it's not a reaction of his past activities. It may resemble. But actually it's a punishment or a reward. It's given directly by the hand of Krishna. And it's exactly what you need to rectify your consciousness right now. Whereas the karmis, they get a karmic reaction, a bad reaction for their past activity. For the devotee, it's not like that. They're not suffering their past activity, otherwise why we take shelter of a devotee? If he's still under the laws of karma, who's suffering from his previous activities, pious or impious activity, we shouldn't see the guru or the Vaishnava like that. That he's suffering because of a reaction from past. There's Vaishnava aparad. So the devotees, they see themselves maybe as suffering from past sinful activity, but they see other devotees, it's personally given, it's some kind of a rectification, that it's exactly what you need right now for your consciousness right now. And Krishna gives it, and it resembles a reaction of your previous activity, but it's not. Yeah, so this is the adverse tattin of Pumkong. So there's a story in the Bhagavatam how the black man was beating the cow and the calf, and Parikshit came. They immediately pulled out his sword. Who did? Let me kill that. Who killed you? Who is punishing you like this? Let me kill them. My mother cow said, how can I say it's this person who was beating me? How can I say that? He's just simply an agent to give. I've got something coming, I've got this coming. And he's simply an agent in conveying this punishment or reward. So how can I say that he is my killer, he is my punisher? Because he's simply an agent in the way of the hand of the Lord to give me, repay me my action from previous activities. So this is humility of it. And philosophy of Mother Bhumi had that philosophy. So then she can get along. Okay, so we should be fixed in this philosophy of life. A little bit of this philosophy saved you from the greatest type of danger. It means coming back and taking birth again. So we don't want that. Do we? This is Krishna Consciousness Movement. We solved all the problems. It doesn't mean the devotee is not going to get old, he's not going to become diseased, he's not going to die again. But this is the last time. Solve the problem. No more birth. No more birth means no more death, no more old age, no more disease. So the devotees have solved the problem. So there was one Krishna conscious devotee. She was diagnosed with cancer or something like that. She had a few months to live. She went to see Prabhupada with her daughter, her mother and daughter went. And she said, you know, the daughter's been diagnosed with cancer. She's got 6 months to live, something like that. The daughter started crying, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. Then the mother started crying, no, don't want her to die, we don't want to die. Prabhupada was very strict. He didn't compromise on the philosophy. He said, there's no question of not dying. And they kept coming and going, no, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. And Prabhupada didn't budge. You would have thought maybe he showed some compassion here, but on the philosophy he didn't budge. He said, no. He said, there's no question. No question of not dying. He said, the question is first or second. Who dies first, you or me? That's the question. There's no question of not dying, but who's going to die first and who's going to die second? But Prabhupada wouldn't budge on a sentimental platform. he kept really strict. So that's the idea. We shouldn't become sentimental, especially at the time of leaving the body. We're going to go to our next destination. So we want to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, if you have a desire for one or a skula, you'll have to come back and take birth again. But who's going to be so foolish they're going to think of a Rasgula after spending so many years in devotional service understanding this philosophy? Now, Prabhupada said, the devotees, when there's danger, they very rapidly remember Krishna, very rapidly. We take shelter of Krishna, we won't take shelter of a Rasgula. This is our practice. Sometimes we think of a nice Rasgula or something to eat, but at the time of death, become very strong. No? Just remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. So, So this is the basic understanding of Krishna consciousness. We all know it from day one. I'm not this body. You are not the body. This is the first wings we taught. But it's amazing how the whole world is going on under this conception. I mean, they're getting really advanced in their technology and they're proud of it. But it's amazing how they cannot see this difference between the spirit, soul and the body. The leaders of society. And we see it's happening before our very eyes. The difference between the dead body and the live body. Prabhupada said it's consciousness. That's the difference. And we see, when the consciousness leaves the body, it's called dead. As long as the consciousness is there, it's called alive. And we're faced with it all the time, but nobody twigs it. Nobody can see. See what's actually happening, except the devotees. This is the expertise of Krishna, because it's all going on according to the modes of material nature. Prabhupada's explaining the different modes of material nature are moving everything. But we're so going along with this whole move by the goodness, passion, and ignorance that it's just bewildered. So that's the whole consciousness. So the whole consciousness is bodily consciousness. But here, the first thing we taught is, I'm not this body. It's not my father, not my son. So if I'm not this body, who is my father? If I'm not this body, who is my mother? If I'm not this body, who is my husband? Who is my wife? Who is my child? They're all related to the body. But if I'm not this body, then who? So this is Krishna consciousness. First thing we learn in Krishna consciousness, the understanding you can save so much problem in life. It solves the whole problem of life. We understand who we really are. So, is it just like the Sarangatakur. Yeah, Madhurimadvipa. Yeah, Madhurimadvipa. He would go every day to join Mahaprabhu's kirtan in Nabadvipa, Mayapur. You cross the Ganga, come take part in the nocturnal kirtan of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu told him many times actually that he said, you should make disciples, you make disciples. And again, Mahaprabhu asked him, "You make disciples." He said, "If I could find a good person who was very, very serious and steady and sincere about the process of chanting the holy name, then certainly I would make disciples. Because if one has a disciple like that who is very sincere, he becomes a glory to the sampradaya. He becomes great, and he makes other disciples." So, but unfortunately, I don't see anyone with these qualities in this age. So why I should initiate? So then Mahaprabhu smiled. He said, "Yes, it's a fact. Nobody has these qualities in this age. But if you give him initiation, he'll develop those qualities by your association." So Sranga Thakur said, "Okay." Mahaprabhu keeps asking me. The first person I see tomorrow morning, I'll make my disciple. So he's taking his bath in the Ganga, and a dead body came floating down. So he remembered his promise, so he touched him with his foot, and then he chanted Krishna's mantra in his ears. This boy had been bitten by a snake, and one custom in village custom, if they die of a snake bite, they make like a little bamboo raft. They don't burn the body or bury it. They make a bamboo raft, and they put the body on the bamboo, and they just put him in the Ganga. So he was floating down on a bamboo. So he gave Krishna's mantra in his ear and immediately came awake and alive. So he became known as Murari Chaitanya, or Saranga's Murari. Anyway, he was very happy. He stayed with Saranga Thakur. Sometime later, his parents came to know, "Your son is alive." Really, so happy. They come, "Oh, your son is alive. Let's take him back." He said, "No, your son, I'm not your son. Your son died. You put him in the Ganga. Here is my father, Saranga Thakur. He gave me life." So this is the philosophy. One who gives you real life, he is father, real father. Who is the father? Mahaprabhu was asking, "Who is the father? Mukunda, you are the father, or was it? Huh? Raghunandan. Who is the father? Because Raghunandan was the one who made Krishna eat the laddu. Eat it. Who is the father? You or Raghunandan?" And Mukunda said, "I consider Raghunandan as my father." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because that person who gives you love for Krishna, he is your real father." Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, Raghunandan is your father. By his activities, his dealings with Krishna, he made everyone Krishna conscious." So, we have to live in this material world. We have to have some kind of a social etiquette, some kind of social standard. But we should simultaneously understand the real meaning of life. One devotee, Prabhupada, asked him that, "How should I treat my wife in husband-wife relationship? How should we relate as a husband and wife?" And Prabhupada said, "Like strangers in a hotel." Which is actually a Bhagavatam quote. So, I can't remember where it is, but it's actually a Bhagavatam quote. You should see. You should see your husband. Like strangers in a hotel. What do? You meet someone in a hotel, and maybe you'll say hello or something like that one time. But that's it. You be in the hotel, you do your business, and then you leave the next day and go on. See, it should be like that. The devotee actually couldn't take it. He blooped. He came back again. But he said, "On that point, I could not accept Prabhupada, a very early disciple. I could not accept that fact. Deal with my wife like strangers in a hotel." Later he accepted, he came back again. But anyway, the idea is that, again, how do you want to die? You want to die lamenting? Or do you want to die holding on the hand of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Prabhupada said, if you build this temple of the Vedic planetarium, the devotee said, if we can get Queen of England and the President of America to come and open this TOVP, will Bhaktivinoda Thakur be pleased? He said, he will personally come and take you by the hand and take you back home, back to Godhead. So this is what we're doing here. We're building this temple. So if you want to go back, we can be part of this mission. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur always said he will come and take you by the hand. So better than lamenting, sitting around lamenting, oh, someone's died. No, we just hold on to the lotus hand or the lotus feet of the acharyas and go back home, back to Godhead. It doesn't take much. It just takes remembering Krishna at the time of death. That's all. That's our practice. Krishna make it difficult. Why would he make it difficult? We're his children, we're suffering. He wants us to come back. It's so simple. You just got to remember Krishna when you're leaving. And he promised, I'll take you back, I promise. And don't fear. So this is the how King Kichichat is being enlightened by Narad Muni into the real purpose of life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Any comment or question?
Hare Krishna. Sometimes in outside world, they say that what are you doing for your parents, your mother and father? They have brought you up, given you education, and now you are going away to... So, what to say?
No, we say we're doing something for your mother and father. What are you doing about your father and mother? We're doing something for your father, your grandfather, your grandmother also. 16 generations up and 16 generations down. Sometimes it says 21 or 21. Or 14, different. Anyway, if you become a devotee of Krishna, you liberate 14 ancestors up, 14 ancestors down. So we're doing more than our parents. You didn't do it for your parents. We'll do it for our grandparents. We'll do it for you also, because we love you. So we'll become devotees and we'll liberate you and all the family. So first we understand what is beneficial. People use that word, how to benefit others, open schools, open hospitals, what is the temple doing? Simply lazy, living on leeches, living on society, they don't work. Prabhupada said the rat, it takes a long time to make a house and the hole in the ground and live there. The snake comes along, he goes in the hole, he eats the rat and lives in the house. Devotees are like that. Karma is doing all the work. We'll enjoy the facility, but we're using Christian service. What benefit are you doing? Now first you understand what is benefit. If you think that taking birth and death is very beneficial and growing old and dying is beneficial, that's okay. If you think that going back to Godhead at the end of this life is beneficial, so you make a choice. First understand what's beneficial before you are there asking the question, what is beneficial for this? Why don't you do beneficial work, help the poor people there? So the question is, what is beneficial? First understand that. If you consider sending your children back in the cycle of birth and death, which Prabhupada calls violence, if you don't train your child to become Krishna conscious, you are a violent parent, even though you may give your kid so many hugs and kisses every day. You're very violent because you're keeping him in the cycle of birth and death. That's violence. But if we give them Krishna consciousness, and we understand Krishna's consciousness as self, that we're going back to Godhead, we're stopping birth, old age, disease and death. This is the real beneficial work. Then let them make the question. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You did spoke about art of dying.
Pardon?
You did spoke about art of dying.
Art of
you
dying.
Mentioned okay. Just. So I have a little Sankirtan story which happened around 2 months ago on Chamastani.
Can you speak a little bit away, a little bit echoey? I think you're too close.
So I have a little Sankirtan story which happened about 2 months ago on Janmashtami. A disciple of Lokanath Swami, his name is Sankirtan Prabhu, left the body. So I went there about 2 hours later and I had my last book, The Science of Self-Realization. So I thought I bring this book to him. I put it on his chest, and I mean, he left on Janmashtami. There is also a picture of Krishna on it. So this was actually my inspiration to put the book on the chest. And then neighbors came the whole day by to say, how do you say this in English? For condolences. And suddenly it was a couple, actually the husband of her was a butcher. And suddenly I felt that Sankirtan Prabhu wanted to give the book to the lady. So I took the book and I gave it to the lady. And then her husband, he said something that they don't read or something was there. And then I said to him, yeah, just you look at the picture with your wife in the night before you're sleeping, something like this. And actually there is the picture. I didn't realize the picture inside, the cow and the man, the change of head, you know. So, but anyway, then 2-3 days later, my dear friend, Vanamali, she's the sister of Sankirtan Prabhu, she told me, the lady told her that she read already one chapter, The Art of Dying. Haribol, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Haribol. Thank you. My story. Okay. I can love you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. We were discussing how the material relationships are temporary, just like meeting in a hotel for one night. So what about the emotions that we experience within those relationships? Where are they stemming from and what is the significance of those emotions?
Yeah, all these the emotions, they're all coming from the spiritual. They have their counterpart in the spiritual world. If it's, Prabhupada said, if it's in the material world, it must be there somewhere in the spiritual world. There's nothing here that's not in the spiritual world. So, yeah, emotion is the whole spiritual world is based on emotion. It's based on emotion. In the Bhagavad Gita, the last chapter, last verse, last paragraph, last sentence, Prabhupada finishes Bhagavad Gita on this point. He talks about how the living entity has minute independence and he can use it to serve Krishna or serve Maya. So when he uses it properly to serve Krishna, then again it says he gets his place in the Haladini potency in the spiritual world. He goes back and joins that Haladini potency, or that pleasure-giving potency. So that's where most of the emotions are coming from, Krishna's internal potency. all these feelings and emotions are coming from there. So Prabhupada said, yeah, this is where Prabhupada's Gita wants to take us. You read it. Very last sentence. Go back in our constitutional position, in the pleasure-giving potency. And we please Krishna. What does Krishna like? He likes emotion. What does God love best? He loves love. That's the greatest emotion we are expressing. Krishna is there, the Adiras, Radha Krishna. Yeah, so everything is based on emotion in the spiritual world. Bhakti means emotion. The Shat aspect, we have Shachidananda, the Shat aspect, that's, you can say that's emotionless. Because there'll be the duality, it's Ananda, it's bliss, whatever that, eternality. But there is no... But Bhakti, we say Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's an ocean. It's always constantly in flux like that, so there's always emotions, they're always changing. Whereas for the Jnanis, their liberation is just meditating on this Shat aspect, the eternality aspect of the Lord. So there's no Bhakti there, so there's no real emotion. In fact, they become practically emotionless, the Buddhists. That's the whole thing, completely emotionless. There's nothing. There's no emotion even. But, yeah, so Radharani is the chief of that potency, the Ladini potency, the internal potency. Because she gives emotion, because she... and that's what Krishna likes. He loves love best of all. And that there is the greatest emotion. And we see Mahaprabhu's example at Shiva Sangam. It wasn't just Kirtan Kirtan Bas, but it was establishing emotions and moods. And Mahaprabhu was constantly changing. And sometimes you'd be in ecstatic love for Godhead, you'd be jumping and laughing. Sometimes you'd fall down on the ground and hold the devotee's feet. I have no love for Krishna, you're Krishna, please give me some. And then you'd be humbled and play with grass, and then he'd put the shaligrams off the altar and sit there and, I am he, I am he. And like this, he was constantly changing. You see the kirtan, it was constantly changing the mood. And the devotees, they see Mahaprabhu gets in the mood, they all get in that mood to assist him. And when his mood changes, they all change their mood. That's their business, to expand his pleasure. But it's constantly changing. So this is... Bhakti means emotion, it's a different emotion, different, constantly changing at every moment. Variety is the spice of life. So in Goloka it's like that, there's a variety all the time. It's constantly changing. Hare Krishna. Shalini Mataji, Hare Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur will take you by the hand for building TOVP.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you had mentioned that if you have philosophy, you don't lament, but you just change your angle of vision and move on. So oftentimes, like when we hear an instruction from the devotees or from the scriptures, we feel very inspired to follow it for a particular time, and then the inspiration slowly dwindles out. So the toughest part is to hold that angle of vision throughout your life, you know, and because in time it just tends to fade away. So how do we deal with that?
You can move on to something else that inspires you. Temporary. I'm not getting inspiration like I had before, so try another angle of devotion. So, okay, I'm gonna give 2 hours of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, this canto or something for a little while, or it could be anything. You could just I'll do some little vrata for a little while, or change my. and take bath in the Ganga every day for a month or something like that. Something you feel might a lot more like him, because that's the nature of this world, you know. Sometimes Krishna says in the winter time you're cold, in the summertime you're hot. Hot or cold, you want it or not, you're going to get it. You've got nothing you can do about it. So these emotions and moods are coming. Sometimes you feel elated and sometimes... So we don't want to become exactly like the Gyanis and fix on one point, emotionless. But we can use the emotion, but we can, if we're not feeling inspired, then somehow or another be prepared to do a change for a little while. Go and associate with some inspired people, people who inspire for a little while or something like that. But the changes are always going to be there, because that's the makeup of the spiritual world. Yeah, be prepared to make a little change. You do it. Instead of, well, I'm not getting same as it was before, I'm not feeling any inspiration. Lamenting is for Sudra. So Brahmana Kshatriya, they do something about lament. They don't lament, Sudra laments. Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya, they will do something about it. So do something, whatever it takes, change. Make a change, little change. And you get inspired up. Again, you make it down, make another little change. Nine angles of bhakti, we can use all these. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.